Now, our Bible reading today is in John chapter 12. We're moving on a little in this book of John to chapter 12 and the first 11 verses today. Let's read together the Lord's Word. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with their hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had to beg, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Once again, to Let the Bible Speak from our Free Presbyterian Church. I trust that today that you will be encouraged and blessed through the Lord's Word. We are turning to one of the most special events in the life of the Savior, in the home of Mary and Martha, where they wanted to offer a very special meal or feast unto their Savior, just to demonstrate their love. And so much of our Christian service and worship is really just to demonstrate that we love our Lord. Of course, we are called to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And there are so many ways by which we may demonstrate our individual personal love to the Lord Jesus. Now, you will hear today that one of the most special ways to do that is by participating in communion, taking that cup and bread just as a love, thanksgiving offering unto the Lord. And I trust that you will experience that many, many times in your Christian life, that you will display your faith, your devotion, and your love to the Lord Jesus by taking the cup and bread in communion. In our church here in Cloverdale, we do so on the first Sunday of each month, and we take delight in that very special time. So stay tuned as we come to this message today. Firstly, we have an item of song, and then we'll be turning to John chapter 12.
Christ in me, my soul hath found, and found.
and ask that you will minister to us as we come to this table. Lord, it is a table of love, a table of grace and mercy to our souls. It is your call to remember your death, your sufferings, your redeeming work. I pray today that as we come to your word and that as we seek to wait on thee today, that we will hear thy voice through the scriptures, that there will be a word for every heart to correct, to convict of sin, but also to lead us to that freedom and that liberty that is in Christ. O Lord, speak, I pray. Give utterance, give help in the pulpit, but also to the hearer, that there may be the receiving of the word by faith. We ask this earnestly in our Savior's name. Amen. Let's turn then to John chapter 12 that we were reading earlier. John chapter 12. What a beautiful account of this wonderful supper that was made for the Lord Jesus in this home, chapter 12. You'll notice in verse 2 that it says, there they made him a supper. This supper was for the Lord Jesus. I rejoiced in heart as I came to this to think about the communion table and saw the number of parallels immediately between what we're doing here now this morning, participating in communion, and that day when Lazarus sat at the table with the Lord Jesus, with Martha, as usual, serving, and then we have Mary coming and anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus. Surely there is here a little picture of the resurrection. Lazarus, of course, prior to this was dead. The Lord raised him to life and he's a fully functioning man. The fact that he's sitting there salivating, waiting for the food to be put on the table and able to participate in all these things, it shows the marvel, the wonder of this resurrection of Lazarus. Many people wanted to come and see him. He became a phenomenon on that very time. But this scene around the table really is a little picture of what it'll be like for us on the resurrection day when we are raised up with new bodies, new lives, and we will dine with our Lord Jesus. It will be that eternal marriage supper of the Lamb, and we'll join the choruses, the multitudes, to sing our hallelujahs. And I hope you sing good and loud when you get to glory and sing with all your voices unto Jesus. I would and have prayed that this will be a little taste of heaven on earth for us today as we come to this table and as we enter into this love feast. Yes, in a spiritual way, we are dining with our Lord Jesus. Why not? Don't we love the Lord just as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus did? Does the Lord not promise that he will meet with us around this table, that we're to do this in his memory, and this pleases him? Now, I note that the Lord was very quick to defend Mary for pouring out that spikenard, that costly perfume upon the Lord's feet when she was criticized by Judas. Judas, of course, he had no interest in worship. He had no interest in honoring the Lord. He was the thief. And when he saw all this seeming waste, this costly ointment, all every ounce of it poured out on the Lord, he was unhappy. But Jesus said, let her alone. Let her alone. Now, on this day, you'll notice that it was 6 days before the Passover. And it is said that that sixth day before the Passover, which would have been the Sabbath prior to the crucifixion, that that was normally among Jews a day of special feasting. What a wonder then when the Lord Jesus showed up and they could make that feast to honor him. Now, Mary, who loved all along to sit at Jesus' feet, hearing his word, this was a very typical reaction of her to honor the Lord in this way, because she would again be sitting at the Savior's feet. We see again that Martha was serving. Some people you can't change. They just love to serve, and that's what they do naturally. Well, Mary, for her, it was natural to sit at Jesus' feet. But here she goes this step further, and she opens the ointment, and she pours it upon the Savior's body. And there was a great spiritual depth to Mary's devotion. She saw the sacrificial death that was soon to come upon the Lord Jesus. This was not just 6 days before his crucifixion. This, Mary must have understood, was her last opportunity to anoint the Lord in this manner and show her love, her devotion. Why not? She had just raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. Prior to that, she had said to the Lord, "If you had been here, my brother had not died." And they spoke about the resurrection, but what a mercy and what a miracle and what an event to have Lazarus, after 4 days under death, alive and living back in the fellowship of the home. What joy! And they wanted to honor the Lord all the way. Now, it's easily seen from these words where Jesus said, "Let her alone," that the Lord fully approved and accepted this devotion that Mary offered to him. To us of Western culture, who know nothing about anointing feet and washing feet, well, to the Lord it was very precious. It was very special. And in your Christian life, you are going to find that there will be those who will surprise you, who will oppose your devotion and the expressions of your love to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes they will come from those who are the bitter enemies of the Lord. But sometimes it will also come from religious people, like Judas. Religious people who said, "This money could have been used for the poor. This is a waste." And when Christians build churches and do things that expend money on a testimony for Christ, there are always critics who say this money could have been put to better use in the community to help the poor or whoever. And so this was a very common protest. Why was this not given to the poor? Now, you see that anything that is done solely for the honor of the Lord Jesus is often hated, as by Judas. And maybe even while coming to this communion table here today, there is something of opposition in your own heart that would say, why express your love for the Lord? Why let others know that you love Jesus? Why tell it aloud? Why make it known? And there is this reticence, something even of a hindrance, that you might hold back in your expression of love for the Savior. Now, I want you to note that the Lord comes to your defense. Why should you come to this table and take the cup and bread? Should you? The Lord says, "Let her alone." He invites and he encourages every expression of true faith and true love unto him. And I'm going to be the very last to hold you back from taking the cup and the bread. Our elders will not withhold the cup from anyone here today, but that will become your own call. And we invite you to please tell us that you love the Lord. Tell us that you are interested in honoring him. By the way, the Lord has ordained. This is not strange. This is not something that's out of place. This is proper. And we invite you to participate. So we want to look at these words of the Lord. Let her alone. Let her alone. And to see how we can defend and declare our love for the Savior. Firstly, then, we come to let her alone to demonstrate her love. Jesus, I make this statement categorically, without hindrance, The Lord Jesus will never refuse the love of his own people. He looks for it. The Lord calls us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Anything less disappoints him. And so if you truly believe on and love the Lord, please take that cup. Let it be a demonstration of your own faith and your own delight in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord has ordained this table for you to express that inner depth of love to the Savior. And as Christians, we look into that cup and we see the cross work of Christ. We see all that he did for us in giving his blood for our redemption. And our hearts melt in love that we might love him more. And that makes us like Mary. Now, I notice that Mary's love was voluntary. Nobody told her to do this. She just did it all by herself. Martha was serving. Lazarus was sitting at the table with the Lord. And without any prompting, Mary undertook to use that spikenard ointment and honor the Lord in this way. So often she had sat at Jesus' feet. So often she had been there to heed his word. But she wanted to do more. And so out of her own heart, she used the ointment. And we learn that the very best devotion, the very best expression of love for Christ has to be voluntary. You can't be told. You can't be driven. You can't be pushed into loving the Lord. And no one has to drag us or shout to us to obey. And the mark of grace in the heart is your own personal willingness to honor the Lord. It has to be heart-filled love. And to us, this would translate into eagerness, zeal, and hearts that delight in this first Sunday of the month, another communion service. It's not something we abhor or regret, but rather that we say, I must be there. I want to be in the midst of that. I want to hear the Lord's voice. And I want to express by taking those physical signs, those things that do truly tell others I love my Lord Jesus. Is that you today? Is that a description? Is that a parallel with Mary that's really applicable in your own soul? Are these your thoughts and desires? Oh, they ought to be. And if they are not, we ought to pray, Lord, make it so. I noticed too that Mary's love was public and unashamed. Now, she didn't jump up and down, she didn't make any big noise or fuss, but that ointment, its aroma went everywhere, and it was known by everyone in the vicinity. It could not be hidden, it could not be hindered, and everybody knew the story. Mary, what did she do? She took the spikenard, that potent perfume, and opened it and used it to honor the Lord. It was a very becoming, but yet very public statement. And obviously Judas smelled it, and his hardened heart was stirred up to oppose this, but the Lord was well pleased. Let her alone. Let her alone. Let this aroma fly. Let this be endured or enjoyed by all. And so as we take the cup and bread today, we in a normal, proper, befitting way, each take our hand to the cup, each take our hand to the bread, and we each eat and drink, and we let others know. In a sense, it's public. In a sense, it's among the fellowship of the saints, and therefore, it's unashamed. I also point out that Mary's love was personal. Think of the attention that it gave to the Lord by anointing the Lord's feet. That was one-to-one. But then we're told in this story that she used her hair in this anointing of the Lord. Look at that in verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. You can see that Mary threw her whole self into this act. She owned this devotion as her own totally, making it her way of showing her delight in her Savior. You just can't avoid the personal touch in worship. You can't worship the Lord by proxy, as you might vote at an election. You can't just stuff it in an envelope and send it in. You can't ask someone else to do it for you. You must be there yourself, and you must be the one who is bringing this honor to the Lord. It's you. And at this table, it's your hand that takes the cup and bread. It's your lips that receive it and your body that eats and drinks. It's your own personal expression of your self-love to the Savior. No one else can do this. It's you and the Lord. You might say, but there's many more people here than me. But we're all made up of individuals, and our worship is one-to-one. And while we do it in the company of fellow believers, it's you worshiping the Lord yourself, expressing your love and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Then Mary's love was also very practical. There may have been a multitude of other uses for this spikenard, and from my bit of research, it's like essential oils, which has all kinds of different uses, medicinal purposes, pain relief, healing properties, even disinfectant in some cases. But to Mary, there was no better use of this spikenard than to use it to honor her Lord Jesus. And you might say, but I would like to do that. I would like to do something to honor the Lord. I would like to find some way that I can express and show, yes, publicly and personally, that I love my Lord Jesus. Well, here it is. It's wonderfully designed and ordained for us. On a regular basis, we as born again New Testament Christians are called to remember Jesus' love and death for us in this communion feast. And that's why we do it and delight to do it. And it's our opportunity to demonstrate our love for the Lord practically. See this picture? This is my mother. Do you believe me? But my mother is not made of paper. No, she is a real person. Yet when I hold this picture up and say, this is my mother, it is true, and you all understand what I mean. Now the Lord Jesus said, this is my body, and the disciples knew just what he meant. He was sitting there at the table when he said it, but they knew that every time they took some of the bread at the Lord's Supper, they were to remember that he gave his precious body to die for their sins. And every time they drank of the cup, they were to remember that he shed his precious blood to wash away their sins. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, we read that the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He knew how easy it would be for us to forget him and to forget how much he suffered for us. So he started this little service of remembrance for us to keep. Every time I take part in the Lord's Supper, I say this little poem to the Lord. In this broken bread we own thee, bruised for us and put to shame, And this cup, O Lord, we thank thee, speaks our pardon through thy name. Say this little poem softly to him when the bread and the cup are passed, and it will give him joy. This note was written by Vivian Gunderson. Many of God's people have found it so that the communion, the Lord's Supper, is a vivid reminder of Jesus' wonderful love for our souls. And there is no better way for a Christian to declare their faith, their hope, their confidence in the Savior than to participate in this communion which he has left for us and commanded us to take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And so I trust that today that you will remember your Lord Jesus. And may the Lord in his grace open your heart to him. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.